Countdown for blast off. X minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X minus 1, fire.
Welcome to Radio Sci-Fi, your podcast for science fiction old-time radio. You're cleared for takeoff. Hello, this is Clyde J. Kale with a brief reminder. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener-supported, so I encourage your monetary support with a donation today. Please visit www.mpir-otr.com and click on the donations page. A one-time donation of any amount will be greatly appreciated. Again, that's www.mpir-otr.com. And thank you for listening to Mystery Play Internet Radio.
I have received word of a strange invention. What it can do will amaze science and strike terror to the world.
2,000 plus science fiction adventures from the world of tomorrow, the years beyond 2000 AD. 2,000 plus presents The Insect.
Oh, it's wonderful news, darling. It means I'll probably get that research appointment at the university.
Oh, I can hardly believe it, George.
Well, here's the telegraph from the Dean of Science himself. I'll take the jet plane in about 2 hours and be there in plenty of time for my meeting this afternoon.
I know. I'll get a bottle of champagne and we'll celebrate a dinner tonight.
Well, that's nice, but I'm not sure I'll be home for dinner.
Oh?
The meeting may go on. Maybe I'll have to stay overnight, take the plane back in the morning.
Well, then we'll have champagne for breakfast.
Well, let's not hope too much. Hey, I've got to gather my papers and things while I'm going to get to the airport in time. You'd better help me.
In your laboratory?
Oh, now, look. The wife of a budding scientific genius shouldn't act like that.
But, George, I'm frightened when I go in there.
Nonsense. They won't hurt you.
No, I can't stand insects. That's why I stay out of your lab.
I've got to have help with these papers. What do you want me to do, cancel the meeting because my wife is afraid of the work I do?
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. Just...
All right. I'll try to do it myself.
Don't be angry, George. If they were ordinary insects, tiny ones were... Maybe it would be different.
Even with what I've done to them, they're not so big. So I've taken a spider, a housefly, and a wasp, and by means of my growth ray, I've made them larger. The spider still isn't any bigger than my fist. The housefly is about as large as a pack of cigarettes. The wasp no bigger than a golf ball. They're not giants.
But they look so... So horrible when they're even that big.
Easier to observe and study. That's why the university is interested in my work. With a long-term appointment and a grant to amplify the growth ray, maybe I can really increase the size of the insects. Imagine a fly as big as a horse. That would be some horsefly. Hey, that's a joke.
All right, George. I'll help you.
It's only the papers we're packing. You won't have to go near the insect cages. Now, hand me those poisonous insects. That one there.
This is?
Right.
Do you have any poisonous ones in here now?
Only Sam, the spider. He's in the glass cage by those books.
I don't want to look.
Maybe if you'd look, you wouldn't have such ridiculous ideas. Sam is a nice guy. He just squats and stares. Looks like a wise old man.
Oh, if I looked, I'd get sick. All those legs... Here's a
wound. Okay. Now the notebook, please. Hey, be careful.
Why? Well, what's the matter?
That machine is very delicate. You almost touched it.
Oh, the growth ray?
Mm-hmm. I don't want that running while I'm gone.
Oh, don't worry. I can't wait to get out of here.
Let's see now. Have I got everything? Yep. Well, that does it. Come on. After you, meet terror-stricken beauty. You know, I hope when we get to the university, if I get the appointment, you'll keep your disgust of insects to yourself. A wife is supposed to build up her husband's work. Faculty wives do that all the time.
George, don't argue with me now. I just can't help the way I feel.
Sam should really be fed while I'm gone.
Stop it! I'm not going in there.
All right. All right. What about Pete the housefly? He's not poisonous.
You feed your insects when you get home. Now, hurry up. George will be late.
Sure. Well, goodbye.
Oh, George, I don't want you to leave when you're annoyed like that.
I'm sorry, darling. I really love you. But I love my insects, too.
Martin, here are the groceries you ordered.
Oh, hello, Bill. Right in here.
Okay. On the table?
Please. Oh, I hope the oranges are better this time than they were last.
Oh, Mr. Ginkelheimer said to tell you that these oranges are swell.
Well, I'll know when I squeeze them for breakfast. Oh, thank you, Bill.
Oh, is Mr. Martin home?
Mr. Martin? No, he isn't, Bill. Why?
Well, he was going to show me his bugs.
Oh, you don't want to look at them. But they're dreadful.
I find them very interesting. Mr. Martin said he'd take me into his lab today. That's why I delivered your order first. I was anxious to see them.
Oh, Mr. Martin was called away suddenly. He got a telegram and had to leave almost at once. But you'll be home tomorrow.
Gee, tomorrow I've got to work at the other store, the one on North Street.
Well, in a few days, then. The bugs will still be here, Bill.
Mrs. Martin, would it be too much trouble if you let me peek at them?
I never go into Mr. Martin's laboratory.
I won't hurt anything. Just peek. I was kind of looking forward to seeing them.
Oh, it's a horrid place, Bill, that laboratory. You wait till Mr. Martin gets home.
Sure, Mrs. Martin, if you say so.
Well, don't look so glum. What you men see in those revolting creatures, I'll never know.
They're scary. They're so big. I feel funny when I look at them. Then Mr. Martin explains about science and stuff, and it's really interesting.
Would you like to be a scientist, Bill?
I sure would.
Well, I suppose I ought to encourage it. I won't take you in, but you can peek. You know where the door is.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Martin. Thanks very much.
But don't touch anything.
I won't.
I better put these groceries away.
Mrs. Martin! Help! Help! Help!
Bill! Bill, what's the matter? Oh! Oh, no. No!
I saw it before. It wasn't here the last time.
I don't know.
At least 6 feet high.
What is it?
Look at the eyes. Feelers out in front, waving. Wings.
It's got wings. It can fly at us, kill us, eat us. Get out of here. We must get out of here.
Keep your eyes on it.
It looks like a moth. A giant moth.
Watch it. If it flies, you...
Oh, 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 look! You bumped into the door.
Open it. Quick, open it.
I can't. It's locked.
Where's the key?
In the other room. We can't get out. We can't get out.
I'm looking at it. Oh, don't cry, Mrs. Martin. It isn't doing anything. It's just sitting there, fanning its wings.
Oh, Bill. Bill, what should we do?
I don't know.
Let's move in the corner by that chair. We can crouch down behind it. We'll just sit here and watch it.
Now, Mr. Martin, I'm very interested in your growth ray. As Dean of Science, I want to be certain that this university encourages brilliant young scholars who are experimenting in new fields of research.
I understand,
sir. At the same time, I must be satisfied that the research will be of fundamental value.
Yes, sir.
Now, suppose you talk for a while. Tell me about your work.
Well, I have always been interested in the effect of environment on organisms. I narrow the environmental factors to universal conditions applicable to all organisms. Mm-hmm. For example, sir, air, temperature, humidity, light, and so forth. And then I approach each of these conditions from the point of view of its specific effects on organisms. I discovered that the presence or absence of light gave me the widest variance of reaction.
Oh, excuse me. In what way the widest variance?
In the effect on physical growth, change, adaptation.
Oh, I see.
You see, sir, because light is a general term, I broke its definition down into all known rays, infrared, ultraviolet, so forth, and studied reactions of organisms to those rays in every conceivable combination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after 2 years, I evolved the theory that if certain rays could be combined electronically and concentrated on living organisms for specified periods of time, their growth would be greatly stimulated.
And you have constructed such a machine?
Yes, I have. The Electrodyna Spectrum, the growth ray machine.
What have you accomplished with it so far?
I've multiplied the growth of certain insects many times. My present machine is small and homemade, and its power is not too great. But so far, I've increased the size of a fly to that of a pack of cigarettes.
Mm.
The size of a spider to that of my fist.
What kind of spider?
A tarantula.
Well, it's a very dangerous and poisonous insect to work with.
Well, being a tropical spider, it might be more receptive to light. Its size has tripled.
Tell me, Mr. Martin, what is the optimum increase in size that you've so far obtained?
About 8 times with the fly. The size increase varies with the insects. There's a lot of research yet to be done.
Yes, so I can see. Your work certainly excites the imagination. Think of your having the kind of equipment that will permit a 20, 50, 100, or even 1,000-fold increase in an insect's size. Imagine an insect large enough to attack and devour a human being. Imagine this university needing lion cages to contain its giant insects.
Well, there's no limit to what new things we could learn about all manner of organisms with the growth ray. Not just insects.
Yes, that's right. Mr. Martin, I'd like you to stay on another few hours so that we can talk some more.
I'd be very happy.
Perhaps you'd like to phone your wife, but you'll be a bit late.
Thank you, sir.
You can use the phone in the other office. And Mr. Martin.
Yes.
When she asks you how everything's going, you tell her that it's going just fine.
It's still sitting there, looking at us.
The most horrible thing I've ever seen.
6 feet high. Those giant wings. How does it get here, Mrs. Martin?
Somehow the growth ray must have begun working. It gives off a slight glow. The moth must have seen it, flown toward it.
It must have seen us. Those eyes. Biggest dinner plates. Maybe it's waiting. Then it will come toward us. It'll try to kill us. Edith.
Don't, Bill. Don't say that. Crouch down, Lord. This chair protects us.
We've got to get out of here. The door's locked, but isn't there some other way out?
Only the window. Behind the moth.
Is the window locked? I can't see. The shade is drawn.
Yes. Yes, the window is locked.
Gosh, if it would only fly to the other corner of the room.
Then what would you do?
Maybe I could run to the window, pull up the shade, unlock the window, get out and get help.
Just leave me alone with that horrible, monstrous creature. Oh, no, but
what do we do?
I don't know.
When will Mr. Martin come home?
This afternoon, tonight. Maybe not until tomorrow. Listen. The phone.
Maybe that's Mr. Martin calling.
Yes.
When you don't answer, maybe you'll come home.
No. No, he'll think I'm out shopping or visiting.
Mrs. Martin, look.
The moth? It's stopped moving its wings.
It's looking right at us. At this corner. I'll bet it hears the telephone. It scares him.
Do you think that's Maya? That must be George calling home. Why doesn't he realize something has happened? Why doesn't he call the neighbors or the police? Why didn't he come home?
Mrs. Martin, I think it's going to fly.
What do we do?
I don't know.
It'll kill us.
If it heard the phone, it'll hear us. When it flies, crouch down, Bill. Get as much protection from the chair as possible. And scream. Yell. Anything to make noise.
Okay. Okay, Mrs. Parker.
Oh, the way it just tears.
Maybe it won't fly. It will fly. The phone has stopped ringing.
Yes, Bill.
Like a nightmare being here. Oh, George, darling, you knew I hated these insects. Yet you built a laboratory in our home. Home. A place with a room of terror. Why am I here? Why did things happen to trap me here? Was it because I hated George's work? Was it because I refused to help him with these repulsive creatures? Oh, I see them all. His body's like a worm, quivering, rippling, gray, dirty. And those eyes staring, knowing I'm here. What's he going to do? No!
It's flying at us. Scream again. Make noise.
It's flying wildly against the wall, the ceiling,
the fireplace, the window.
His wings hit the window shade. It rolled up.
The sunlight's coming in. He's flying blindly, crazily.
What's that?
Bill, the glass cage. The glass cage with the spider. The poisonous spider.
I see it scurrying across the floor. Over there by the sofa.
The giant moth is sitting on the bookshelf. And on the floor, like a fuzzy ball of death, the spider. The tarantula!
Mr. Martin, I am delighted to see you. The dean phoned and said you were coming over. I think I am the last member of the faculty committee he wants you to see. Oh, sit down, won't you?
Thank you, Professor Buckley. Yes, I've been going all afternoon from one appointment to the other.
And all of us are happy to talk with you. The dean is quite excited about your research, you know.
Yes, I'm very pleased about that. Professor Buckley, I hope you won't think me rude at the beginning of our meeting, but I wonder if I might use your phone.
Why, of course, Mr. Martin. Is something wrong?
No, I don't think so, but I phoned my wife several times to tell her I was staying on all afternoon, and there's been no answer.
Oh, I'm sure there's nothing wrong. By all means, call. The phone is right there.
Thank you.
Number, please.
Lakeview 84572, and reverse the charges, please.
Thank you.
Still doesn't seem to be any answer.
Oh, well, let it ring a few more times.
Sorry, sir. There is no answer. Shall I keep trying?
Yes, operator. Please keep trying.
I'll call you, sir.
Thank you. I can't understand it. It's not like Betty to be away so long.
Mrs. Martin?
Yes. Still there.
I saw the spider last week. As big as Mr. Martin's fist. I looked into the glass cage. I could see the hair on its legs, like bristles. And Mr. Martin showed me its mouth, where it bites and kills with the poison.
Stop it, Bill! Stop! For heaven's sake!
I'm sorry, Mrs. Martin. I can't stop looking at them.
They don't like the sunlight. That's why they're on the sofa.
But the whole room is flooded with sunlight since the shade went up.
hiding in this corner behind this chair doesn't give us the protection we need.
Why? The moth is too big to get at us here.
But the spider, it can scurry on the rug under the chair.
I'll take off my shoes. Something to hit it with. If it comes... There. Now you take one of them.
Look. Its wings are fluttering again.
It's going to fly again.
But let's not scream. It might scare the spider.
Can I hear it too?
I don't know.
Here he comes.
Call you back.
Ask for operator 34, sir. Thank you.
No answer yet?
No, sir. Of course, I did tell Betty that I might be late or even stay overnight. She may have gone to her mother's.
Well, it's a real pleasure finding a young man who cares that much for his wife. I suppose Mrs. Martin feels the same way about you.
Oh, Betty's wonderful.
Yes, I'm sure she is. After all, not many women would approve of their husbands inventing machines that make insects larger. You've got a rare wife, Mr. Martin. One who doesn't object to giant insects in the house.
Keep the shoe tight in your hand, Bill. If you see the spider, hit it. Hit it hard.
Yes, ma'am. I will.
I can't stand it much longer. My hands are trembling. I'm cold all over.
Me too, Mrs. Martin. I think I'm getting to sleep.
Oh, you mustn't, Bill.
If I could have a drink of water.
The moth. It's acting strangely. See?
Yeah. But its feelers are kind of limp.
And its body. Oh, that disgusting worm-like body. It's flabby all of a sudden. Droopy.
Its eyes. They look different, too. I don't know why, but somehow the...
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Huh?
What's the matter?
Spider! Spider!
Where?
Spider!
Where?
Oh, no. It was only the hem of your skirt touching my leg. I thought it was the spider.
Oh, Bill. Bill, what's going to happen to us?
Gosh, Mrs. Martin, don't cry. Please don't cry.
Well, Mr. Martin, are the terms satisfactory to you?
Oh, yes, sir, very much so. Thank you, sir.
It's going to be a great pleasure having you at the university. And I know that you find your association with us a real incentive to carrying on your work with the Growth Rate.
I'm sure of that. I'll do my very best to be a credit to the university and to scientific research.
Now, my boy, it's time for you to leave if you want to catch the 6:10 and be home to tell your wife. You just get home and you'll find that there's an explanation for why she didn't answer the phone all day.
I'm sure you're right. Thank you again, Dean. Thank you very much.
Feel better now, Mrs. Martin?
I guess so, Bill. I'm all cried out. I haven't a tear left.
Look, Mrs. Martin, I'm going to try to reach the window.
The window?
The moth is back on the couch. I think I can make a run for the window once I push the chair aside a little.
But he might attack you. For me?
Well, maybe he won't.
Oh, but he will, he will. The moth is so big. 6 feet high. Bill, what would happen to either of us if he did attack? I would be eaten alive.
Do they have teeth? Could it really kill us?
The moths eat all sorts of things. George would know exactly. I had a whole group of claws ruined last year. He's so big, so terribly big. One bite and... Oh, Bill, I don't know what to say.
I'm going to try it. Now, crouch down. I'll push the chair out a little, squeeze by between the chair and the wall, and make a dash for the window. Now, there. The chair's pushed aside. Now, give me my shoes. Okay, Mrs. Martin. Here I go.
I'm here. I'll try to unlock the window.
Look out! The moth is flying at you!
Get away! Get away, you! Get away!
I'll get you a drink. Here you are.
Thank you.
Now tell me.
The laboratory door snapped behind us. The giant moth was there. He knocked over the glass cage with the spider. We thought we'd die. And I thought Bill was dead.
I'll find the spider and kill it. But as for the moth, darling, despite its size, you had nothing to fear.
What?
Well, you see, darling, the adult moth doesn't eat. It has no mouth. Nothing to attack or kill with. Despite its size, Trichophaga tapetella, the clothes moth, is utterly harmless.
You mean it? You mean we could have just shooed it away and opened the window?
Of course, dear. The reason it's dead and why you could have waited without worrying is that a moth cannot live more than 6 hours in sunlight. You see, dear, all this horror was unnecessary.
Next week, a strange drama of a silver rocket and an unseen visitor from space. Be sure to listen to 2000 Plus, radio's different series. 2000 Plus is produced by Dreyer and Winolson Productions, Incorporated. In today's cast, Joan Shea portrayed Betty, Larry Robinson was Bill, Ralph Bell was George, and Bill Griffiths was the Dean. Music composed and played by Milton Kay. Sound, Al April and George Cooney. Engineer, Bob Albrecht. This is Ken Marvin speaking. This program came from New York. In ancient times, they thought that the rising of the dog star Sirius was responsible for the sultry weather of midsummer. Sirius or not, no one needs to be told that these are dog days, and every sportsman knows it's perfect weather for just plain fishing. So for the latest tips and information on how to catch everything from minnows to muskies, Listen to Mutual's Rod and Gun Club of the Air every Thursday. You'll hear moderator Milo Bolton with his panel of sports experts in an informal sports session you won't want to miss. Listen to Rod and Gun Club of the Air every Thursday. You'll enjoy it. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.